Celebrate football season at Apex Entertainment. When New England wins, kids win. Visit Apex in Marlboro after a win, and you'll receive a free kids meal with the purchase of an adult meal. Offer valid for X-Card members and for children 12 and under. Visit the website for details. Apex's 100,000 square feet of pure fun for all ages with go-karts, bowling, arcade games, laser tag, and more. Catch the games while enjoying their great beer selection and delicious appetizers. Apex Entertainment in Marlboro.
B-Pod Studios.
In business, setbacks change everything. So get Comcast Business Internet, now with Security Edge. It helps protect every device that's connected, so you can be ready for what's next.
Restrictions apply. Security Edge requires Comcast Business Internet. Actual speeds vary. Up.
Hour number two, Felger and Maz with the big boy, Greg Bedard from Boston Sports Journal. Autodidact, not audiodidact. Autodidact, self-taught. Someone who's self-taught.
Why couldn't you just say self-taught?
They got offense on tape, Felger.
An audiodidact, again, is a self-taught person in the radio industry.
There you go. Autodidact. Word, Felger and Maz, word of the day. Bedard's stint is brought to you by the Granite Group. The Granite Group is an award-winning distributor of Mitsubishi Electric's heating and air conditioning systems with locations across Massachusetts and New England. Learn more at customizedcomfort.com. All right, back to your phones here. As promised, we'll get to 10 questions here. Come up in about 15 minutes or so. Meanwhile, back to you, John in Connecticut. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys, two quick things. One for Bedard, one for you, Felger. Bedard, I'm not sure why you're so stubborn and sticking to your take that the Chargers and Panthers games didn't mean anything. At that point, the Pats had three wins, two against the Jets, one against the Texans. If they don't win those games after beating the Jets the week before, they don't gain all confidence that they have right now. The Pats were not and are not a good proven team at this point. That makes you think that they could just turn it on whenever they want or need. So while you might be right that they'd be alive right now for the playoffs, you can't be sure that they and Mac would, you know, be ready for the challenge to face, you know, better competition right now and start playing winning football right away.
Okay, two.
And then Felger, it's fine. I congratulate you on your ability to program really well, because after yesterday, and I had a feeling about this from last week, that I understood why you want to give credit to the Pats right now, even though their schedule, you know, has been weak. It has to do with the Bill versus Tom narrative. You want that to be alive and well. So, you know, kudos, well done. And like you said, what Bill has done so far this year by turning the program over has been more impressive than Tom winning the Super Bowl last year.
But I've been there from the start. And just put that to the side for 1 second, Murray. I've wanted Bill to answer the whole time. I was on Bill's side to start. And Bill lost last year, got embarrassed last year, looked like a jackass last year. I'm more than happy. It ain't over. More than happy for him to come back and tie the scoreboard. And why would technically be tied on the scoreboard? I said this yesterday, Bedard, that what Bill is doing at his age might be more impressive or unprecedented than what Brady has done at his age. And again, he'd have to go all the way. But at this point, you know, we looked this up yesterday. The oldest guy to win a playoff game is Marv Levy at 71. The oldest guy to win a division was Pete Carroll, or maybe it was Levy at 70. So Bill's right in the area here of being among the oldest coaches ever to win a division, win a playoff game. If he's not the oldest, he'll be, you know, by a year. But the difference is, Greg, that he is, I don't know if you can give me another comparable to a coach at his age who completely flipped his roster and started over with a rookie quarterback and got to this level. I mean, you tell me another guy that did this.
Can we please wait until after the season for the comparisons about what Belichick has done? And Hang on.
Sorry, Greg. We have a show.
Here we go again.
We have a
hang
show.
Hang on. All right? And this goes along with the Patriots fans, who I think are getting pretty cocky. All right? You lose this weekend to the Titans.
And then we'll have a different show on Monday.
I'm trying to make a point, so shut up.
And I'm telling you what the point is. We'll have a different show if and when they lose.
I'm trying to make a point. Can you please zip it for
a
second?
Get to it.
So
he's about to rip Patriot fans. Let him go.
Go.
Yes, that's what I... If the Patriots lose this weekend, yes, the number one seed is in sight. You could have it this weekend. You could also be out of the playoffs after Sunday. So why don't you just slow your roll about what the Patriots have done, including Belichick, until we actually know what the hell he's done? Tom Brady winning the Super Bowl at age 43 as a quarterback is way better than anything Belichick is going to do this year.
Preach.
Are you kidding me? Is that a joke?
If Bill goes all the way?
Bill sitting on his ass being GM and coaching games is more impressive than Tom Brady playing quarterback at age 43 when no one's barely won a playoff game at age 40?
Yes.
Are you insane?
Yes. No, I might be insane, but I think if Bill goes all the way with this, it'll be a greater feat than what Brady did. Yeah.
Oh, I think it's a hell of a conversation. I'd rule out nothing.
No, it's not even worth discussing.
Greg, if they win the Super Bowl this year.
43, quarterback, NFL quarterback, doing what he did with a new team.
Yeah, and Belichick at 69, 70, doing it with a new
team. What is he, out of the nursing home?
Well, pretty
just
close.
Sitting there.
Yeah, he's really old.
Greg knows. I'm with Greg.
God.
He's right.
Coaches
Let's
at this
not
age.
Talk about, like,
coaches at this age.
Differences
don't
or living
really...
differences or anything like that.
What are you saying there?
That 69 is like, you know, 69 is like. What would the comparison be? Like 60?
I have no idea what you're saying. And 43?
It's more like 60?
And
43
is like 33. Yeah, yeah. I mean, everyone's doing more at an older age. So it's comparable.
Nobody's doing what Brady did.
No one's doing what Bill's done.
Oh,
no coach has done what Bill has done to this point. You can keep engaging or you can huff and puff.
I'm done.
Do whatever you
I made
want.
My point. It's ridiculous.
It's not accurate. You name another coach at this age who is in the process of doing what Bill has done. He hasn't done it yet.
We don't even know what he's done.
Exactly. But this is a Tuesday, November 23rd. If they lose on Sunday, on Monday, November 30th, we'll have a different show. That's the way it works on a daily radio show. Very simple. Bill's in the process of doing what no other coach has ever done.
I think that's Bedard's greatest take in his career.
Shut up back there.
Thank you, Murray.
We've got Dave in Plymouth. Go ahead, Dave. You're
yeah,
next.
Ask me in January.
Yeah, so, Greg, you kind of stole my thunder on the strength of schedule, but I'm going to go a step further and say strength of schedule this year means nothing. I really believe it means absolutely nothing. And, you know, the second point I wanted to make is that Indianapolis game, one thing people are overlooking, Indianapolis is a dome team, and their whole MO has been trampling teams inside. But when they have to go to a bad weather city.
Not true.
Dave, did you watch the Buffalo game?
The Buffalo game was in the rain, Dave.
How about San Francisco? That was a monsoon. Yeah. What did they call that? There was like some sort of a crazy name for it. Yeah. Even like it was
the
like
bomb cyclone.
It was a bomb cyclone.
Yeah, that straight line in from the ocean.
They went into the bomb
it was unbelievable.
Cyclone and trounced them.
Yeah, I would say that they are exactly the opposite of what a typical dome team is. In fact,
exactly.
They have a great offensive line. Although, what's his name?
Did Nelson get hurt?
He did. Quentin Nelson got hurt again. Yeah, he's had a bad foot or knee or something all year long. But in any case, he came out of that game for a little while. But they're a physical, you know, real run over you kind of team. They're the exact opposite of what a dome typically is.
Quick update on that Indy game.
I just saw it too.
This has been flexed to Saturday night, Patriots at Colts. Saturday night, December 18th, kickoff at 8:20.
I like it. Yeah, no shock. That was one of the games that was up for it.
I like it.
By the way, that caller, his overall point was right. I don't think strength of schedule means anything, and that's why I think who's playing the best at the end of the season is going to be more important than ever this year.
Yeah, but I'll tell you that this whole strength of schedule thing.
It only matters for your stupid power rankings. Like, what's the diff?
Yes, but there is all. It's the only thing we have to grade teams against each other if they've played head-to-head.
I guess so, yeah.
And the one thing we can say about the Patriots is they haven't played any of those teams yet. Who's the best team they've played?
The best team
Dallas?
They've played is
Dallas
or Tampa, yeah.
Okay, they lost to both, and the Dallas game was defensively way worse, right? So I would tell you that the Patriots need to show that they can beat an elite team. A lot of these other teams that we're still talking about have beaten elite teams. Somewhere along the line on their schedule, they've won a big game. Buffalo went to Kansas City and won. Like, and you can say, well, Kansas City wasn't what they were at that time, all of which is fair. They still won the game. The Patriots haven't even had that opportunity yet.
Let's get Jeremy in the car. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Or they haven't pulled it off yet.
Jeremy! Oh, that may have been me. How about Joe in the car? Go ahead, Joe.
Hello?
Hello, Joe. You're on the air.
Hey, gentlemen. So, bear with me with my conspiracy theory. Do you think Nitwit 1, Bluto upstairs... was communicating to Nitwit 2, bug eyes on the sideline, son of Bill. And that's why the defense was so horrific to start, and then Belichick just nipped it in the bud.
Yes.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you too, man. That's who I'd blame. I'd start with Patricia. And I don't know about Steve Belichick. He's supposed to be pretty good. You know, who knows? It's just, it's hard to get past the coach's son kind of thing. I feel bad for Steve in some ways because it's
of course.
It's so easy to look and say, oh, you're just there because you're dad. But that's what happens. You know, that's what you're sort of asking for there on that.
Can we make it easy and just call one of them Nit and the other one Wit?
So yeah, something like that. And
he's proud of himself over here for that one.
Nitwit defense.
I know we're not big fans of Matt Patricia, so those are sort of slow moving targets. Probably unfair, but so be it. John in Milford. John, you're up next.
Felga.
John.
Yes. Hey. Who pissed in your Cheerios today? You're fighting everybody.
He's a little grumpy.
You know, definitely grumpy. I don't care. Well, listen, guess what? You're in New England. New England Patriot fans care if Mac Jones wins it.
No,
you may not care.
That's not what I'm saying, John.
Listen, hold on. Everyone's got to listen to their wife, right? And she's telling you a story, and you'd rather be anywhere else.
Yeah.
But you'll never once say, wait a minute, I don't care. You know, Felga, you get paid pretty good to sit there. You know, and listen to people. That guy was calling in. He cares. I guarantee you, everyone in Patriot Nation cares, and they're hoping this kid wins it.
Okay, John, you're right. I'm paid to care. But I have a hard time caring about your power rankings. Of course I care about if they win it all or not. It's not what I don't care about.
Yeah, but you don't care about Rookie of the Year.
Oh, I don't care about Rookie of the Year. Oh, that's what he's talking about.
Correct. I think that's what he means. That's exactly what he's talking about.
Oh, God, I'm not paid to care about Rookie of the Year. No, that's not on the – nope. Nope, that's not, if I'm paid to care about MVPs and Rookie of the Years and Silver Sluggers and these sort of things and Gold Gloves and freaking Vezina Trophy, if I'm paid to care about that crap, I'm out. That's a fantasy show.
You should actually root against it, though, because it gives them more blah power. So you should care against it.
Yeah, I agree.
I care about the team winning.
Jamar Chase.
I care about here's what I care about. Your teams being in the playoffs and playing and winning playoff games. That's what I care about. I don't care about the individual stuff. I don't. I'm not paid. Am I paid to care about who wins Rookie of the Year?
I said care, Felga. You're paid to care.
I'm with Felga on this.
Care.
For once.
Okay. The 10 questions with Greg Bedard comes your way right after this. You really don't want to.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Frazier Engineering. Frazier Engineering is your MVP for all your commercial mechanical needs. Just give them a call and make your next project a win. Go to FrazierEngineering.com to find out more. Frazier Engineering. Great people doing great work.
Do you believe in moral victories? A good loss? We'll get them next time.
No silver linings here on Felger and Mazz.
Then you are in the wrong place.
You have to accept that, so we...
Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
10 questions, 10 minutes. We got to be on time. Jimmy, what are our options this week?
But the Penguins?
Okay, next.
Shut your pie hole.
There you go. That works.
Don't you feel stupid?
That's the Mazz show.
Tell me I'm right. Tell me I'm right. If I were you, I'd be sending you tweets. Next. I'd like you all to shut your trap. Keep going. And my username is username 985Felger. Sorry. Yeah. Go ahead. Hit whatever one. Just go. And my username is username 985Felger. All right. Murray has once again submitted a question for the 10 questions. You have to guess which question it is. You ready?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Number 10. Has the time come for the NFL to come up with a new stat for catchable passes that are picked off due to the receiver as an alternative to interceptions? There's a typo here. Due to the receiver missing the ball as an alternative to interceptions on quarterbacks. It feels like half or more of Brady's interceptions have been the fault of the pass catchers. Not fair for quarterbacks to eat those picks that are not on them.
Total Murray question. Chairman of the boohoo Brady
so
crew over
pathetic.
There.
So pathetic. He's trying to have interceptions wiped off of Brady's record.
Just answer the question.
Oh, my God.
My answer is no. No is my answer. I'll tell you why. Are we going to keep track of passes that should have been picked that a receiver catches and bats to the ground? We're going to keep track of those, too?
I mean, the answer is yes. And there should be a new stat called FPHINT, frying pan hands interception. It counts as a turnover. It doesn't ultimately affect the QB rating because it was clearly the fault of a dumb player with frying pans for hands. The what? FPHINT.
Can you give me an example of such a player, Murray?
Yes. Mike Evans of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Of Tom Brady's 8 interceptions this year, by the way, 3 have come on drops, another on a Hail Mary. So this shouldn't count against him or any other quarterback, I'm being fair here.
This is what he and Gasper do during the game. Like, they're logging the interceptions.
That's not fair to Tom.
It's unbelievable. Next.
Don't you feel stupid?
When you hear Joe Judge, Giant coach, after a game like last night with the following quote, what are your thoughts? Let's hear from Joe Judge.
Look, I take this very personally, all right? I'm a man of my word. When I look in the camera, I tell people of New York, New Jersey, you know, the fan base area, when I tell them we're going to give you something to be proud of, I'm not asking you to be patient. That's not your job. I'm telling you we're going to put something on the field you can be proud of. Okay, that's on my name. Okay, you understand that? That's on my name. All right, I'm the leader of this team. I'm in charge of this team. That's on me. I don't point fingers. I don't make excuses. All right, we're going to get this right. I'm not asking them to, you know, be patient through it. I'm just telling you point blank. I told the players, you just show up on Wednesday, ready to go. That's it. You just show up ready to go. All right, that's it.
Then they fired Jason Garrett today as offensive coordinator. If that were your coach, what are your thoughts?
I'm getting a new one. I mean, look, he's like, I'm not making excuses. Then he fires the offensive coach, offensive coordinator the next day. Sure seems like he's pointing fingers to me.
Yeah, what comes to my mind? Jackhammer. That's what jackhammer. That's what this guy is. Complete, total, freaking jackhammer.
Biggest hardo moron coach in the league. Every time he has to bring, I was talking to guys in New Jersey and New York. If I was a player on this team, I'd rather listen to a bag full of puppies get thrown in front of the subway where the actual commuters from New York and New Jersey have to take every day than listen to this guy spew his nonsense week in, week out. He sucks.
That is a tough analogy. Next. I'd like you all to shut your trap. Okay. Who should be the next coach of the New York Giants?
Josh McDaniels.
Ooh, I thought about him. Jim Harbaugh.
That's always your answer.
I know. That's why I did it just to piss you off.
He's going to get fired after he loses to Ohio State again this weekend. Belichick.
Someone who can handle quarterbacks. Harbaugh.
Nick Saban, will you finally nut up? Will you finally nut up and go against the best?
Mm-mm.
No, never.
He's done.
Never happen. Next.
Shut your pie hole.
Let's hear from another quote. Let's hear another live quote. Here's Baker Mayfield on getting booed in Cleveland the other day.
Baker, what did you make of some of the booing there in the second half from the fans?
Those are probably the same fans that won't be quiet while we're on offense and trying to operate, so don't really care.
Is he making it better or worse for himself by that comment?
So much worse. Oh, my God. What are you doing, Baker, you tool?
Oh, worse. Absolutely worse. Like, again, but it might be smart if he wants to get out of there. Like, I wouldn't rule that out.
It's making himself worse. Yeah, I don't see how this thing ends up working there. He's going to find a new team next year.
Okay, which leads to the next one. And my username is username 985 Felger. All right, what team should Baker Mayfield be quarterbacking next year?
The Green Bay Packers, just to torture you. Replace Aaron Rodgers.
Ooh, good one.
I don't hate it. I think he'd be okay in that system.
Houston Texans. He's from down there, right? Like, I'd go to Houston if I were him.
The Raiders. He's an a-hole. They're a-holes. Oh, match made in a-hole heaven.
Good one, Murray.
I'll take him on the Packers. Next.
The Packers say no.
Don't you feel stupid?
Number 5, latest in the tool bag series. Who's the biggest tool bag defensive player in the NFL?
Cassius Marsh.
Oh, good one.
Oh, that's good.
Great one. I went Matthew Judon. This whole thing with the wiping of the brow every time he gets a sack, complete tool bag move.
Did you like his macaroni quote today?
If he were a guy in another team, Patriots fans would freaking hate him like poison. That whole, let me wipe my face or rub my hand over my eye, you big tool.
I go with Jadeveon Clowney because I know he's been a little bit better this year, but he's been stealing money from teams going on 3 seasons. Overrated tool bag bum.
Next. Tell me I'm right. If I were you, I'd be sending you tweets. Who's your favorite Tennessee Titan of all time?
Bruce Matthews. One of the greatest offensive linemen.
You would pick an offensive lineman.
So good.
So I got two. They're from the same era. Steve McNair, Eddie George, like those to me were the Titans personified and what the, really, to me, the identity of the organization is. Line up, two tough players, smash mouth football, the whole thing. I loved those guys.
Steve McNair, tough as nails, ballsy player, loved him.
He was. If I should be his tool bag Titan of all time, bonus question. Jeff Fisher?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
What a freaking Johnny he was. Next.
Greatest coach in tool bag history. Shut your pie hole.
Can anyone please explain to me how Taysom Hill keeps getting paid?
No.
Did you see this last one?
Yeah.
4 years, $40 million. I mean, so here's the real money, right? It was advertised like 5 years, $90 million or something, which is a lot of phony money. But 4 years, $40 million, with 22 and a half guaranteed for injury and 20 fully guaranteed for a gadget guy. Can someone explain this to how he keeps getting, he made over $10 million this year. Over $10 million. And they're not going to make him the quarterback. How many chances have they had? Give it to Jameis Winston. Give it to Teddy Bridgewater. Give it now to
Trevor Siemian.
It's like they're not. He's not going to be the quarterback. So you have him in there just for like two or three carries a game, or one throw a game, or two catch, whatever he's averaging. That what? Can someone explain to me the money going to that player?
No.
He's got something on Sean Payton, nudes, dirt, where he gets his pills, something.
Yep. That's got to be it. Seriously, pitchers with barnyard animals. He must. How's that guy keep getting paid? Next. I'd like you all to shut your trap. Which relocated team would you most like to see go back to its hometown? I ask because Titans, Houston Oilers, Phoenix Cardinals, you know, Arizona Cardinals back to St. Louis. Ravens, Cleveland, Colts, Baltimore, Rams, St. Louis, Raiders, Oakland, you name it. What team do you want to see go back to its original city?
The Cardinals, back to their original home, Chicago, giving Chicago a second team and save Chicagoans from the Bears.
I thought of that one.
That's a good one. I said Cardinals, but to St. Louis. I'd much rather have the Cardinals like in St. Louis than in Arizona. Phoenix blows.
Neil Lomax.
Does Phoenix have good fans for anything? That town sucks.
You'll hate this, but put the Chargers back in San Diego simply because everyone keeps calling them San Diego.
It does get annoying, doesn't it? All right. How about the Redskins back in Boston? And we can talk about...
The Boston Braves.
Then Buck can talk about taking the trolley to Braves Field. I don't know if they played there, but, you know, all that stuff. I would love a second baseball team here or a second... I would love another pro sports team in Boston. I would love it. Seriously, in any sport, give me another team. Next.
Shut your pie hole!
Should Mike Vrabel be considered a member of Bill Belichick's coaching tree?
No, he's never coached under him.
No, too good.
No. Came up the coaching ranks at Ohio State, and like Greg just said, he never coached under Bill. He played under Bill. No.
And here's another one I wasn't even considering. Should Cliff Kingsbury be considered a member of the Belichick coaching tree?
No.
The only guys who can coach are the guys that weren't on his coaching staff.
Correct. Are people They're trying to players. Give Vrabel to Bill to
Oh, yeah,
his
of
resume?
Course. Yeah. Yeah.
See, Bill was a great.
No, he's not. He ain't in his tree. Cliff Kingsbury ain't in his tree.
No
sale. All right, we got that in time. Here comes Big Jim Murray's update. We're back with your calls. Phones are open for you. And my username is username 985.
The beauty of business is its ability to solve human problems and to bring those solutions to scale.
Bentley University President Ela Brent Kreit explains how good business can make the world a better place.
Bentley is uniquely positioned to prepare students for a 21st century marketplace. The intersection of business and the arts and science is where magic can occur. That's what we do. That's what we bring to the table. And that's the difference at Bentley.
This is purely a take that exists in my head.
Getting into your head.
Tell you what's in our head.
With hot sports takes.
And we share it with you.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
One back set, Godwin in motion, play action, fake a pass to the right side, caught ball a little low, inside the 10, 5, 3, 2, touchdown Tampa Bay! What a play and a pass to Godwin, the touchdown is good, and the cannons are firing early on a Monday night. Hand the ball off, Rojo tries to get outside, got a big block to the corner, dives to the pylon, touchdown Tampa Bay! Fire the cannons! Empty backfield, Jones under pressure, he'll go down again! It's feast and famine, feast and feast time for the Buccaneers. There's a Thanksgiving turkey for another, and Cam Gill gets his first career quarterback sack.
You feel better, Murray?
I do, yes.
You're all worried yesterday.
Hey.
I told you to lay the points.
Well, all right. I guess you guys aren't nervous Nellies like me, because when that got tied, unfortunately, at 10-10 after that ball clanged off Mike Evans' hands, Giants get it, and, you know, at the 5, they score two plays later, and they go, oh, Jesus, here we go. Because they're a dumb team. Again, if you watch this, they're a penalty waiting to happen on either side of the ball at any time.
Murray, if for the thing being over, you still are all wrapped up in the thing, man.
Oh, yeah, no, these are high stakes. In terms of, like, the blind cold war, I mean, even though I won, you know, but, like, now with what's going on with the Pats and Mac Jones, yeah, we found the quarterback, Bill's got his groove back, all of that. No, the cold war continues, my friend.
You're legitimately worried about the Patriots, aren't you?
No, I'm more legitimately worried about, oh, no, please, they're going to end up losing to the Bills or whatever. Like, they're not going to the Super Bowl. But I'm more worried about, like, if it does go a little far with the Bucs, like, you know, who knows?
But Murray, it doesn't matter what the Bucs do. You just have the Patriots just can't match. So
right.
That's the only thing you really need to. If Brady loses in the first round, what's the diff? He's already
True.
He's got that Super Bowl on the board. All you need to do is prevent the Patriots from getting there.
And it just feels like the stakes are getting a little higher with each.
Yeah, you're feeling the heat. You're feeling the Patriots. Yeah, okay. There you go. How could you not? How could you not be feeling the Patriots here?
Well, if you're on that side of it,
on any side of it, how do you not, you know, see what's going on here and not respect the threat level of Belichick? You know, being at this spot, you know, just like you should have respected Brady being in the spot, even though it didn't look great all year. And, you know, there were times where they certainly didn't look like a Super Bowl team. You had to respect Brady being in that position. Now Belichick's in that position. If you don't respect his ability to actually push through and do something here, then you're blind. I think. I don't know. I mean, that's no guarantee that they do it or not. But Murray's feeling it. That's it. I mean, he should be. Back to your calls. Is this okay? Our call screen's a little screwed up. Larry in Manchester, go ahead, Larry.
Hey, Felga, how you doing tonight?
I'm good, Larry. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, I want to straighten you out on the whole Belichick Brady thing.
Straighten me out.
Okay, I'm a big Patriots fan. Belichick is the best coach of all time. Okay, but I still love Brady. Now I'll tell you, it's already over between the two. Brady has already proven it. Even if Belichick wins how much has he spent?
So what? How much did Brady...
On the new team. He doesn't have the same team that he had with Brady. He counted on Brady to carry the team for how many years? And
okay.
How much money did he put in the bank and save? To get where he is right now, how much money did he spend since Brady left?
Jeremy, Brady airlifted himself into a very, very expensive star-laden team. It's apples to apples as far as I'm concerned. Brady didn't go to the little engine that could. He didn't start over with some sort of underdog team. He dropped himself into one of the best rosters in the entire league, just like Bill's given himself, and that's being strong. But you know what I'm saying. Apples to apples.
Not really apples to apples to me, because the Buccaneers, they weren't winning Super Bowls.
Hey, Jeremy, if it's about the quarterback, then why does it matter that he brought in the players around him?
Okay, my name's Larry.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were Jeremy. Larry.
No, I'm Larry all day.
Okay, Larry. Well, I ask you the same question.
Go ahead. Enough.
Well, he says, well, he brought in all these players. Well, fine, but if it's about the quarterback, what difference does that make? He has a rookie quarterback. In other words, if Brady's the one who covered his ass all these years, then why aren't we saying the same thing about Mac Jones?
But if you're saying that the talent that Bill spent on has lifted him up, fine. The talent that Brady surrounded himself by lifted him up, too. It's like they both. I mean, I still think that Buccaneers roster is more talented than this Patriots roster.
It is,
you know. But fine, either way. Like neither Brady nor Belichick would have won with some sort of little scrappy underdog. That's all. That's my point.
It's just another sensitive Brady Yehu who can't accept the fact that all of a sudden the thing has swung back the other way. And by the way, I've said all along I haven't changed my mind in the big picture. I'm on the Brady side of it. I have said for years. Bill gets you to 10-6, 11-5, and that was in the 16-game schedule, okay? He gets you that far. Brady puts you over the top. So Bill's still going to win the Super Bowl to prove to me that he made the difference.
Greg, is this conversation beneath you?
No, but what I was going to add was I feel like I'm in bizarro land because you're talking up how good the Bucs roster was last year and how Brady basically engineered it so he went to a team that was fully stocked and he just pushed him over the top. And I fought against last year when you guys were screaming, it's all Brady, taught them how to play football and all that stuff.
Taught them how to win. And you're just like Belichick's going to teach this crew how to win.
Okay.
But the talent was there.
Yeah. I mean, I thought last year you guys did not give enough credence to how much talent was on that roster and that it was... They just had terrible quarterback play the year before with Jameis.
Certainly to begin the year, I wasn't familiar with it, probably, you know, like you were. But as the season went on and we watched Brady every single week, it sort of became obvious.
That defense was
absolutely
in the postseason was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it was hard to ignore it once you got invested yourself in it. I was not fully invested in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers prior to Brady's arrival. That is true. John in the van. Hi, John.
Hi.
Hi.
First time, long time.
Okay, John, hold like a pizza. Be quick.
Just curious what you guys think the real offensive ceiling of this team is without a true slot receiver on this team.
Greg, answer that. What's the true offensive ceiling of this offense without a number one receiver on
this team? They've never had one, and they've been fine. You worry about, do they have enough clutch pass catchers? I mean, we just don't know. I mean, I think they're fine. I think Aguilar is coming on very, very slowly. I think he's coming on. Kendrick Bourne has come on. Jonnu Smith, no. Hunter Henry, obviously.
Let me ask you, playoff game, fourth quarter, 3rd and 7.
Who are you going to?
Yeah. Who do you got?
You got to go to Hunter Henry, but if I'm the other team, I'm double covering him. Now what's he going to do?
So that's the guy? You know, again, fourth quarter playoff game, 3rd and 4, 3rd and 7. Got to have it. It's Hunter Henry.
I think it is.
See, like, I mean, I sort of think it's by default, and I think it's kind of an issue. Like, Mac Jones doesn't have a guy. Hunter Henry in the red zone for sure, and I guess that would be my default too. But I think that hurts Mac Jones, that they haven't developed one yet for him.
I mean, to me, it's one of two guys if you're talking about third down. Red zone's clearly Henry. How many times have they run that little outplay to Jacoby Myers?
Sprint out?
Yeah. Yeah, so like it feels to me they were, and he had a big third down conversion of Myers the other night in Atlanta. And I say big, but that's the one he got blitzed on. That was a third down play, if I'm not mistaken, where he got knocked on his ass and Myers caught the ball just at his shoe tops. So I think it's one of those two guys, probably depending on what the matchup is.
So it's Myers or Henry. And that is, you know, if you want to just stack it up, if, you know, Mahomes has Hill or Kelsey and who's Josh at? Does he go to Diggs in that spot every time? Does
I would
he
say
go to
Diggs or Beasley.
Or Sanders or Beasley.
Or Knox.
You know, like I'd sort of give them the check mark in all those spots. I can't tell you who Wentz would go to, but, you know, I don't know. Like, I think that's something to consider.
This is why I think it almost works to the Patriots' advantage that they've been slowly evolving the season, because there's not enough film and enough data for teams to say, all right, well, come third down, what are we going to do against them? Because I don't think the Patriots have really even found what they're going to do. And I still think there's so much time left. There's 6 games that in 6 games from now going into the postseason, we could be looking at Kendrick Bourne as some sort of, you know, security blanket for Mac Jones. We just don't know at this point.
Okay, more of your calls. And Greg gives us a little preview of the Titans coming up in our long commercial-free segment next.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service.
At Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, our total trust guarantee gives you 20/20 vision into everything we do. From service bay cameras to service bay views to our transparent pricing. Each and every day. Stop by your neighborhood Speedy today and see what makes us better. Visit SpeedyNewEngland.com to find your location and save up to $10 on a 17-point oil change. See store for details, restrictions, and exclusions.
This is the place Boston sports fans come to get some positive vibes for their teams.
Anything but. It's time to panic.
Maybe not.
On Tennessee for a second, just your initial impressions of them and your thoughts on, you know, the game yesterday, obviously against the Texans.
Yeah, well, they turned the ball over against the Texans, which is hard to count on. That's not what they do, so I don't think we'll get that. You know, tough physical team. Their backs run hard. You know, they have a very experienced line. And obviously Brown's a, you know, a huge threat. Firkser had some big plays against us, and we played them in 19. You know, defensively, they're, again, a strong physical team up front. I mean, you got to handle the big guys, got to handle Simmons and then, you know, Landry and the pass rush. They make, you know, it's typical, I would say, Mike team. You know, they're tough, they're physical, they make you beat them, they don't make many mistakes. They know what they're doing, they're sound, they're a good fundamental team, they tackle well. The backs and receivers run hard with the ball. Quarterback's athletic. So, sound in the kicking game. You know, we're going to have to play a good football game in all three phases.
before I get to Greg's thoughts on the Titans, just to follow up on my thing that Greg scoffed at. I think you're scoffing, Greg, because you just haven't really considered it. And that is what Belichick is doing is more unprecedented than what Brady has done. And I'm not saying that Bill's there yet. If Bill goes all the way, it'll be, I think, a greater accomplishment, more unprecedented, both incredible. Like, I'm not diminishing Brady. But, you know, Brady won at 43. There's quarterbacks who've won at 41. You know, he did, or Favre went to, was Favre 41 when he went to that overtime of the NFC title game?
I think he was 39.
Was he 39? Oh, no, then he was 41 in Minnesota then, when he went to overtime of the NFC title game and threw another interception. Either way. And he had an MVP caliber year that year in Minnesota. So anyway, and this is courtesy of my friend John.
40.
Favre was 40?
Yeah, he was 40.
At Boston Sports Inf. Who is the oldest coach in NFL history to win a playoff game with a rookie quarterback?
Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll. Guess how old he was?
65.
60.
Well, when he won with Russell Wilson, he was 61. So Pete Carroll right now is the oldest coach in NFL history to win a playoff game with a rookie quarterback. And he was 61 at the time. The next guy on the list, you'll never get it, is Gary Kubiak, who won with T.J. Yates in 2011.
Oh, at Baltimore, I think.
He was 50. There's no one on this list who is older than 50. So, and the only rookie quarterbacks to win, I mean, the list of rookie quarterbacks to win playoff games is staggering.
It's a dumb list.
Yeah, it is a dumb list.
It's a dumb list because most rookie quarterbacks who are any good are drafted on really crappy teams who are not going to the playoffs their first year.
Yeah, but
Stu, you're already limiting the field. It's
okay,
dumb stat.
But
it has no relevance. Doesn't prove anything.
But Bill has made sure this isn't a crappy team.
That's his point. In other words,
this is abnormal. Just like the Seahawks. Seahawks were on the come.
But
it doesn't normally work out like that. Normally, you don't get a rookie quarterback that goes to a good team that had one bad year and he gets on the team.
Well, but Bill's responsible for them not being a bad team. You see what I'm saying?
$175 million.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying.
Everything converged.
But one is judging a coach, one's judging a GM. You follow me? I understand what you're saying, but the list is coach.
Yeah.
Right? Well, the list is coach. So does Bill has the unique position of also being able to provide himself with players that many of those coaches could not.
Okay.
Right? You follow me?
I guess. I suppose.
No, but listen, here's what I would tell you. Like, I wouldn't limit it to just the coaching. You have a 70-year-old guy, basically.
Yeah, just stick to that.
Who has had to rebuild the whole operation overnight.
Yes.
Overnight.
Yes.
Like, I would add the two together.
Coaches, this is unprecedented.
Right. It's like up there with, like, Joe Gibbs winning Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks.
Yeah, so the guys that have had success at this age are playing out the string with the team that they had built years ago, or, you know, Shula with Marino, Levy with Jim Kelly and that team that they had built the previous decade, or Landry hanging on with Danny White after Staubach had retired, or, you know, whatever. Like, there's no precedent for a coach of his age flipping a roster and turning around with a new quarterback and winning at a high level. There's just no precedent for it.
Because it's a very small pond. It's
exactly
almost minuscule.
It's exactly.
Like he's like the only guy to have a chance to do it.
No. Landry could have kept winning. He could have hung on and kept doing it, but he fell off. He fell off the map. And so could have Chuck Knox or whatever. Like, anyone could have done it, but they all had losing season after losing season until they had to get blown out of there. Bills survived that. Bills turned that thing around. I was worried that he was headed there, believe me. But he's not. It's unprecedented what he's doing. You'll come around on it when you consider it, when you think about it.
Maybe at the end of the season when he's actually done something.
Exactly. But again, it's a daily talk show. Uh-huh. So this is where they are. They're
fantasy
in first place.
Rank.
They're in first place at Thanksgiving.
Yep.
I'm sorry. That's just what it is. And we have to do a show today. You get to go home. We've got to keep doing a show. Give me a thought on the Titans.
I think you're both wrong.
I think, look, the Patriots are fortunate to be getting them at this time. I mean, without their best running back, their second best wide receiver, possibly their best wide receiver, depending on if A.J. Brown can answer the bell with the rib thing, and how effective is he going to be. Look, the Patriots are fortunate to get them here, but the Vrabel factor is huge. The line is way too big for me. I think it's way too reactionary. 6.5 off of last weekend. I think that the Titans just had a really bad day at the office. They probably learned some hard lessons about, like, We cannot, under any circumstance, drop back Ryan Tannehill 53 times in a game. We will lose to anyone if we do that. And so they will play it different. I think this is going to be a, if the Titans are in this game, it's going to be a street fight. That's what Vrabel wants. He wants a street fight in the teens. He probably feels confident, even with this team, that they can win. Tough defense. Getting Landry back will help. But if I'm the Patriots, I'm trying to make this a track meet because you have the horses, actually, for one game. I'm trying to put points up and run away from the Titans.
Wow. Are they equipped to do that? Is that a approach they should be taking at this juncture, at this stage of their development?
I mean, I would try it. I would see what I'm capable of, you know, because you might need to bring that out in the next couple weeks. So I would be aggressive, a little bit more aggressive offensively. You do not want to play these guys tight. If it gets tight, they have more experience. Vrabel, the Vrabel factor is real. I wouldn't want to go to the fourth quarter with these guys.
See, I mean, if that's the case, like, I'd be wary of this game for that reason. I don't think it's going to be a runaway. And I think that Bills had the good fortune, if that's what you want to call it. All these games with Jones that they've won, for the most part, the Patriots have been out ahead. And they've been able to pretty much keep Jones protected in the final stages of the game. And they haven't had to ask him to win any of these games. What would concern me, Greg, about the scenario you just painted is that the Rams are a high-flying, will-score team.
Yep.
And Tennessee took it to them in L.A. And they got after Stafford. And so after this past game with Atlanta, seeing some of the blitz success that the Falcons had, I'd be worried about the Titans getting to Jones. That's what I'd be worried about. Vrabel, I think, knows how to confuse this offensive line. And to me, that would scare me more than anything.
Okay, big boy, have a good Thanksgiving.
You too. Thanks, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, happy Thanksgiving, pal.
We will see you next Tuesday. We have 90 seconds for an update, then we're back. We want to get to a little bit of Celtics and Red Sox next hour, but we got a full board here. We'll get to your calls. We'll wipe the board clean and then get to our other stuff. Again, right after this update, there are no commercials.
The safety of our loved ones. It's never been more top of mind. Which is why, for many families, the Drive with Safety app has never been more reassuring.
Phew.
It lets you know where every driver in the family is located. Plus, families that use the Drive with Safety app can save 5% in their auto policy while benefiting from information that can help improve each driver's performance. Ask an independent agent about safety insurance. We'll help you manage life's storms.